Thank you, Dr. Shannon, for that wonderful introduction. My name is Ben Fallon, and I'm another grad student at the University of Tennessee, and I'm working on my PhD project, and we're looking for amino acid QTL in soybeans. All right. Before I start talking about that, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about soybean production. In the United States, in 2010, we planted 31.3 million hectares of soybeans. And from that, we were able to produce 90.6 million metric tons. And from that, the total crop value was around $38.9 billion. And I just kind of put this up here to, kind of reemphasize how important soybeans are to the economy. And usually soybeans are among the top crops produced in the United States. And also, over half of the states in the United States produce soybeans. In the whole world, in 2010, we produced 258.4 million metric tons. And from that, we consumed 178.6 million metric tons. So again, not only are soybeans important in the United States, they're important in the entire world. So how do we use soybeans here in the United States? Well, most of the time when soybeans are processed, they're broken down into the meal and then into the oil. And the meal is considered one of the gold standards. It's the standard to what all other meals are compared to. It has a very nice protein content, and it's also very nutritional. It accounts for about 68% of protein meal consumption in the world. And total production in 2010 was 39.5 million metric tons in the United States at $397 per ton. And usually meal, the biggest market for that is usually human consumption and animal feed. For the oil, most of the time that's in pretty much everything. You can make biodiesel from it, vegetable oil, printer, inks, any kind of thing like that. It's a big market. And usually the oil from soybeans accounts for about 56% of the oilseed production in the world. And total production in 2010 was 8.6 million metric tons at $1,179 per ton. And today we'll primarily be focused on just the soybean meal. That's where we're looking for the amino acids. It is, like I say, one of the most cost-effective sources of amino acids available today, and it also is one of the best protein sources to mix with cornmeal. However, just like anything else, overconsumption of certain amino acids can lead to carbon dioxide and urea production, and also inadequate quantities of certain amino acids can lead to protein degradation. So, not only is it important for you to get the right amount of protein, but you also want the right amount of amino acid profile as well. And when we talk about amino acids, we normally talk about 20 standard amino acids. You have essential, non-essential, and sometimes semi-essential. And it's not really based on whether you need the amino acid or not. It's whether the body can produce it. And when you look at the essential amino acids, you look at isoleucine, leucine, lysine, methionine, phenylalanine, threonine, and tryptophan. And when you look at the non-essentials, you have arginine, alanine, asparaginine, cysteine, glutamine, glycine, proline, serine, tyrosine, and valine. And the one semi-essential is histidine. And so currently there are about 86 QTLs for protein, and there's only a few for amino acids currently in soy base. So there is a need to find more QTLs for amino acids, because when you look at the amino acid profile, certain amino acids are more important to certain individuals or certain organisms. Like, so different amino acids are important to different animals. So for example, lysine, threonine, methionine, and tryptophan, they're usually important for swine. And lysine, arginine, threonine, and valine are important for poultry. So it's important to get the right amino acid profile, depending on the animal. And so the objectives of this study, we wanted to use the Universal Soybean Linkage Panel 1.0 and we wanted to be able to find SNPs that are associated with QTLs for amino acids in soybeans. And we also wanted to evaluate the agronomic and seed quality attributes over multiple environments to make sure that these traits were stable. And before we get into all that, I did want to talk to you a little bit today about the technology that we used to discover these SNPs. And the technology we used was a Golden Gate assay. It is capable of testing 1,536 SNPs and 192 DNA samples over a three-day period. It uses genomic DNA and not amplified DNA as a targeting genotype. It allows for the simultaneous analysis of over 1,500 loci in a single reaction. And each SNP is assigned a specific address to keep them all unique and be able to easily identify them. And this is kind of just a diagram of how this all kind of goes down. If I can get this to work. As you can see, you have three oligonucleotides to start with, and two are allele-specific oligonucleotides, and they are called ASOs on the left-hand side there. And then on the right-hand side, you have the locus-specific oligonucleotide, or an LSO. And for the ASOs, you have on the 3' end, there is a genetic region that is genetically identical to the SNP locus up here. So that's the SNP. However, the ASOs are designed so only one perfectly matches to the SNP itself. And both ASOs have universal primers on the 5' end. Whoops. And that's the unique alumni code that I was talking about earlier. It's located on the LSO. And the LSO also has a universal primer on the 3' end. And so now, after the oligonucleotide hybridization, a polymerase with high specificity for the 3' mismatch is added and only extends the ASOs that perfectly match the target sequence at the SNP site. And so there goes the polymerase. It extends the ASO that perfectly matches the SNP. And so at this time, DNA ligase joins the extended ASOs to their corresponding LSO to create PCR templates, as you'll see here. There's the ligase. And so now you have the perfect PCR template. So that was about the technology that we used. And now I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about the population that we used in this study. It was an F57 derived population of an S6 by Williams 82 cross, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about the parentage. S6 is in the genetic background of many southern lines, has gray pubescence, purple flowers, group 5 maturity, average protein and oil, average height and yield, and it's also susceptible to SBS. Williams 82 is in the genetic background of many northern lines. It has tiny pubescence, white flowers, a group 3 maturity, average protein and oil, and it's resistance to fructiferal rot, and it also has a mild resistance to SDS. So the experimental design that we took for this study, we basically set it up into three maturity groups, and we had an early, a mid, and a late. And each maturity group had about 94 recombinant inbred lines in it and 4 checks that corresponded to the maturity group itself. And also included in each study were the 2 parents. And we grew these in 3 locations. It was in Arkansas, Illinois, and Tennessee. And there was also 3 replications within each location. And so now we kind of move on to the results and discussion. And so we were able to find differences among all recombinant inbred lines for all amino acids. And if you look at the table here, you'll notice the trait on the left-hand side are the amino acids. The minimum, mean, and maximum amino acid concentration for all amino acids. And that's reported in grams per kilograms of total protein. And this was found using the NIR on the ground meal sample. Then you have the LSD value and heritability estimates. And if you look at the heritability estimates, we were able to find differences. Most heritability estimates for most amino acids were moderate to high. So now, finally, on to the QTL analysis. For QTL analysis, we did decide to go with the program called QTL, and it's a program within R, and that's how we were able to determine marker order and position. And we decided to use the program R, QTL, and MQTL, or MQM, which stands for multiple QTL mapping, and they're both programs with R to actually do the QTL mapping. And we used 1,000 permutations were performed on each amino acids for all chromosomes to establish an LOD threshold. And this is just kind of like the genetic map that we used and we were able to produce using those programs. And on the left, you can just see the marker order, and that's in Centimorgans over here. And then on the right is the actual marker name, and I just added a little bit of color just to make it look a little better. And that's the rest of the chromosomes there. And this is just another way of looking at the genetic map. Again, on the left-hand side here, you have the location in Centimorgans, so you can tell the location of the marker and the length of the chromosome. And on the bottom here, you have the chromosome number. And the little hash marks are just the position of the markers themselves. But the main thing I wanted to point out is on chromosome 13, we did have a large gap. And what we decided to do is just to break chromosome 13 into two separate parts, a 13A and a 13B. And we were able to identify 13 QTLs from this study. As you can see here, these are the marker names. And some of the markers were only for one trait or one amino acid, some for two, and some for about 10 to 12. And we discovered them on chromosomes 5, 7, 9, 10, 13, and 20. And I just kind of put this table here to let you know we were able to find some markers that are important, as I mentioned earlier, for the swine diet. And they are minor QTLs. R-square value runs from about a 5.2 to about a 6.5 or a 6.6. And they were found on chromosome 13 and 9. And then if you look here, again, we were able to find different markers for this is for the poultry diet that are important. Again, these are minor QTLs. They range from about a 5.5 to about a 7.9. So this is just kind of a recap of the QTL results. You can read all the other stuff, and this is just kind of bringing it all together. We were able to find one QTL from chromosome 5 for alanine and valine. R-square value was about 5.5% and 6%, respectively. A QTL on chromosome 7 was detected for asparaginine with an R-square value of about 5.5%. QTL was detected on chromosome 10 for histine and tyrosine with an R-square value of about 7.4 and 5.7%. And two QTL for asparaginine and leucine with an R-square of about 5% and 10%. And one QTL for tryptophan was found on chromosome 9. Let's briefly go through these. We found another QTL from chromosome 20 for cysteine with an R-square value of about 6%. And finally, six QTL were detected from chromosome 13 associated with 13 different amino acids. And phenotypic variation usually ranged from about a 5 to a 9.5%. And so, in conclusion, 13 QTLs were discovered. Most were minor QTLs ranging from about 5% to 10%. And hopefully, for the selection of these minor amino acid QTLs, we will lead to an improved amino acid profiles to meet certain industry demands and provide a basis for future research in soybean amino acid composition. I would just like to thank the following people at the University of Tennessee and support provided by the Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board and the United Soybean Board. And with that, I would like to thank you for your attention and ask for any questions. Protein content was measured, but I kind of worked with somebody else on this project, so I was just basically looking at the amino acid profile.
If I could just ask a follow-up, did you check in the soybean
I have not. That would be something good to look into. I will definitely do that.